Hi, this is Todd Agasawara. Today is December 22nd, 2010, and this is the Mobile Views and Think Mobile podcast number 47. My special guest today is Robert Kenny, who is Director of Media Relations for the FCC's Public Safety and Homeland Security Bureau. And I've asked Robert to speak with me, because they just announced something that they've been talking about a lot and has interested me a lot and has a lot of implications on mobile space, and that's the next generation 911 or NG911. And I guess I'll let Robert to do the full explanation. But my understanding is that currently 911 is a voice call to a call center, a local call center that dispatches out to various first responders, ambulances, fire. Fire departments, police departments, that sort of thing. But a lot of people, especially young people, are so accustomed to text messaging instead of making a voice call that they will text message to 911, and right now that goes to an empty bit bucket. There's nothing there to accept 911 text messages. And so the next generation 911 is an attempt to bring 911 into the 21st century and provide a multimedia approach to providing emergency information from the public to first responders. And I guess I wanted to ask Robert if you could say a few things about next generation 911, and I've got a couple of questions I hope we can talk about.
Thank you, Todd. First, let me say thanks for having me on and for covering this issue. It's an important issue that's on the horizon, not only for the FCC, but the nation overall. And we're really excited about moving forward with our federal partners, with state and local governments, public safety, the industry, and others to make sure that we get this right and we're able to harness this broadband technology, life-saving technology, into the 911 system across the United States. Let me first say, and I want to give you some numbers, and not to overwhelm you or your listeners, but to really put this in context. I mean, today, 911 call centers across the nation handle about 237 million calls per year, which translates into 650,000 calls a day. So you have frontline call takers, dispatchers, and first responders handling a significant number of emergency calls on a daily basis, and hats off to them, number one. Number two, when you look at the current system, it's voice-centric, or what it amounts to is you're limited to providing voice communications to people nowadays who call 911 in emergencies. And with the commercial technology taking off, particularly with mobile broadband across the country and actually globally across the world, you have to be able to harness that technology and bring it to public safety. And one of our priorities here is looking at how do we do that, number one. Number two, what technologies are there now that we see? And from a commercial perspective, you're looking at text messaging, you're looking at photo, videos, and large amounts of data, particularly when it comes to medical health records and the ability of EMS or EMT personnel to transmit personal or private patient information to a hospital when that ambulance is on the way to help get them the help they need. So from that perspective, just in general, it's something that we need to take a close look at. We need to work with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration in particular, because they've been a lead on this at the federal level, and also with state governments and local governments to make sure that we do this, and when we do it in a way that takes into account your technical aspects, your security features, and make sure that we harness this technology in a way that's going to work.
I see. Now, you mentioned something about the National Broadband Plan. Can you tell us how the National Broadband Plan ties into this Next Generation 911? Is it eventually going to be the funding source for it? Is it currently funding the sort of the policy research you're doing right now on it?
You know, that's a good point, Todd. I think from the perspective for your listeners, we issued a National Broadband Plan back in March of this year. And what that set forth is a way, it looks at across the board, and it's data-driven, and provides facts and figures that show that broadband growth is here and now, particularly from a mobile perspective. And we want to make sure that public safety, in this case, is folded in and they have access to those technologies, both from a radio perspective and communications for public safety. consumers and the use of 911 services. And to be able to take that technology and build it into a system across the nation that allows consumers to text, send photos, send videos, and for even email for that matter, to dispatchers and 911 call centers.
Okay. Now, I understand that, I believe I read a few weeks or months ago that there's actually one or two areas in the country, like maybe municipality-sized areas, that are actually testing what amounts to Next Generation 911. Is that the case?
There are some localities. I don't know that any initiative is statewide yet, but there are some regions of the country. And so, for example, I know Alabama, Shelby County, Alabama, outside of Montgomery, they're testing broadband capabilities in the 911 centers, as are some others across the country. But they're really in the beginning stages, and they are not at the point where they're able to make that operational. They're doing different pilot studies that are interesting, but from a more national perspective, we want to make sure that we take everything into consideration, and that's why with the FCC's action yesterday, putting out a notice of inquiry, which basically is seeking public comment on a number of different issues, we want to get all the input from stakeholders, from consumers, from public safety, industry, lawmakers, policymakers, to make sure that we cover all the issues and define a way to move forward that is effective, efficient, and allows for funding.
Okay. And just to clarify for people, at the moment, except for relatively small test areas in pockets of the country, if you're dialing 911 for emergency, it is a voice-only system. Don't text to it. Don't try to send a photo of a fire or an accident. It's not going to go anywhere. Is that correct?
That's correct. And that's an important point. Yeah. Today, your 911 system is voice-only, primarily. And actually, for all intents and purposes, it is voice-only. With that said, we're looking at ways to harness that technology, as we said, and allow for texting. I mean, particularly with the younger generation, I think you might saw reports out as recently as today that talked about how the younger generation, ages 25 to 29, 50% of those people or consumers in that age group only have mobile phones. So there's a trend moving towards mobile communications and broadband, for that matter. You look at today, there's 270 million wireless users or consumers across America, and that number is only going to grow. It should be over 300 million in the next few years, a not too distant future.
Yeah.
So when you look at consumer expectations, one would assume because commercially they can do all those things with their phones, their smartphones, their Blackberries, etc., be able to text, send video, photos. So it might be natural for someone who has that capability now commercially to think that they could text 911, and the fact of the matter is they can't. I mean, if you look back at the tragedy in 2007 at Virginia Tech University and the shootings that occurred there, there were bystanders and victims who tried to text 911, and they didn't go anywhere. So this is the type of thing that we got to look at. We got to educate. We got to make sure people understand the limitations and where we're trying to go.
So what's the timetable for this process? I know it's not a simple one, and you're currently in a public discussion period. How long does this period last?
Well, at this point, with the notice going out, being adopted yesterday by the FCC, I should say, it will be published in the Federal Registry sometime shortly after the new year. And then the public will have 45 days to make comments on any aspects that they want to, from the technical standpoints to consumer privacy and security, ensuring that there's coordination at all levels of government to get this done. So whatever input stakeholders want to provide, we're open to it. And that will be 45 days. And then the reply comments, any comments made to any initial comments that are filed, is within 60 days.
Okay.
So once that process is complete, we'll review those comments, and it's likely that we'll move forward with some kind of proposal of rulemaking to help assist in this area.
Okay. Now, in addition to the legal and policy decisions that affect, well, a lot of things, will there be any discussions with, you know, the commercial entities, the mobile carriers, maybe even small businesses in terms of research and development, or is this, do you pretty much know what technology you're going to use to roll out NG, Next Generation 911?
Carriers and broadband providers on what they think would work best and how you're able to make sure that not only the technology is there and efficient, but you're able to capture that and put it into a 911 system that works for public safety. Okay. And that includes security.
Do you know if, or can you tell us if FCC or some other federal agency is going to be providing something like grants for research by businesses to assist in not only, you know, I mean, the carriers know how to do their business, but basically making sure that you've got the cybersecurity needed for, you know, for a lot of information that's going to be, well, public, you know, you may not want photos of tragedies to leak out, that sort of thing. And what sort of input is the FCC looking for from the public during this period that I guess starts after the publication in the Federal Registry in next month?
Well, I think from a consumer perspective, we want to hear from them on, number one, whether they think this is the right way to approach this. We think they will be supportive. We're certainly optimistic that they will be. We'll also want to gauge what their concerns are on privacy and security issues. And certainly want to have a better understanding of where they sit now, how much they know about these particular issues, and if there's questions that they have as we move forward in this process, we want to be able to answer them.
Okay, yeah, I know just one comment, just a personal comment. You know, I haven't had to dial 911 very often, but I remember one case where there was, and this is fortunately not a tragedy, there was a mattress in the middle of a six-lane highway. Just sort of sitting in the middle, and people were swerving around it, and I dialed 911, and I got a busy signal, and it was kind of disconcerting thinking that somebody behind me might not, you know, be quite as cautious and ram right into that thing.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, those types of situations can occur, and they could occur for a variety of reasons, and I'm sorry that did happen, Todd. Hopefully they were able to get somebody and get that mattress out of the road, because that kind of debris can be certainly dangerous. Cause serious accidents. I mean, when you look at calling from a mobile phone, actually, let's take a step back. When you call 911 from a landline, today, nowadays, it's pretty much expected that the dispatcher or call taker will be able to see your location.
Oh, correct.
Your residence, to be able to get that address up quickly, share that with first responders, and they'll get to you relatively quickly. Some of the limitations with mobile communications, particularly on a cell phone, BlackBerry, etc., is that location accuracy and the ability to determine where somebody is, number one. We put rules in place back this past September that will better define that going forward over the next 8 years. There's benchmarks that carriers will have to meet to ensure that they're able to, at least within a certain vicinity of a caller, identify their location. I believe it's within 300 meters. It can be more pinpoint, depending on the type of technology, whether it's use of GPS or triangulation by towers. But we're working towards making that more effective. As far as you getting a busy signal or your call not going through, that could have been related to a number of issues from an environmental standpoint, depending on where you were, whether or not there was issues with that particular network at the time, or if there was just something going on with your phone at that particular
moment.
That's
true.
You can't really know for sure what might have happened. Did you try to call back at any point in time?
Yes, I did try to call back. Fortunately, I have a hands-free dialing system, so I did dial safely. But I did call back after I got back to my home, which was about 10 minutes after I noticed the mattress, and I told them where the mattress was, you know, near the nearest exit, that sort of thing. And hopefully I know they got that taken care of. There weren't any reported accidents that I saw in the news or anything. Yes, I did.
And it did go through. So yes. It could have been an issue with the terrain, or if you were going over a bridge, sometimes there's some issues with a particular forested area, perhaps, that could have caused the right. delay in you getting through to 911.
Right. Now, earlier, that's very true. There's just a it's a good thing for people to remember that there are any number of factors that may not come into play on wireline phones that do come into play when you're on a mobile phone that complicates the whole issue of communications in general, not just calling 911.
Correct. And one of the issues here, one of the positive pieces of this of moving forward with broadband technology is that if texts are much more easily to get through oftentimes, and obviously the packets flow differently, particularly with broadband. In text messaging, it can be more efficient from a standpoint of sometimes getting through.
Right.
So that's going to be an added feature and another way for and offer flexibility to consumers on getting through to 911.
Right. Now, earlier, you know, we discussed some of the concerns, you mentioned some of the concerns about security and privacy. I'm going to assume that, or most of us, I think, will assume that the government will do the right thing and have the information once stored away, encrypted, and all of that. But we've seen a lot of things. We've seen the WikiLeaks things in the headlines, and all sorts of odd things regarding security. Will there be any public discussion specifically on cybersecurity side of it, in the protection of privacy at some point?
We're hoping to receive comments in that area, and certainly that's something that we'll be paying attention to as this proceeding moves forward, particularly with our federal partners in the industry itself. I mean, right now, if you look at commercial wireless services, they do incredible job protecting the privacy of their consumers, and we're hoping much of that success translates into deployment of next generation 911 services. And we'll be looking at ways to ensure that the infrastructure is protected, obviously that there's encryption on those communications where it can be, and that it's protected, and obviously to avoid any type of human error where somebody may release information that they shouldn't have. That certainly goes with training and education.
Okay. And as we come to the close of our discussion, Robert, I was wondering if you had any takeaway points you'd like to point out that either you'd like to reinforce or maybe something I neglected to ask you about.
I believe we covered most of it. I would certainly encourage the public to weigh in on this issue, to file comments with the FCC. You can find that information on our website at www.fcc.gov. It will be under our headlines in the middle of the homepage, and it will be by date, and it will be under December 21st, 2010, Next Generation 911 Services. So we certainly look forward to public input on this issue. We're in the beginning stages, but it's an important step forward, and we appreciate the time, Don.
Oh, you're very welcome. So, everybody, this has been podcast number 47. And my special guest was Robert Kenny, the Director of Media Relations for the FCC's Public Safety and Homeland Security Bureau. Thanks so much again, Robert, for taking the time to talk to us about something that's really important to everybody, even if you've never had to dial 911, hopefully never have to. But if you do at some point in the future, we'll be able to do more than make a voice call, especially if you can't make a voice call. Maybe you don't want to be heard, for example, or you can't speak. So really looking forward to the progress of the project, the FCC's project, and I hope I can speak to you again as maybe implementation starts or planning for implementation starts.
We certainly would welcome that, Todd, and we appreciate your coverage. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you, too.